Welcome to the Teach the Geek podcast, where engineer and author Neil Thompson talks with STEM professionals about public speaking, a struggle for many of us. Whether you're a novice public speaker or a proficient one, you can always pick up tips on how to improve. Here's your host, Neil Thompson.
Welcome to another edition of Teach the Geek Interviews. My name is Neil Thompson. I'm the founder of Teach the Geek. I work with technical professionals so they can present more effectively, especially in front of non-technical audiences. And you can learn more about that at teachthegeek.com. Again, that's teachthegeek.com. Today, my guest is Mona Ockenden. She's the CEO of Mona Moon Naturals, maker of products that are all natural with non-GMO ingredients. A civil engineering major, her corporate background was in operations and business development. So how did a civil engineer end up making natural deodorant? Smells fishy? Well, let's get some answers. Welcome to Teach the Geek Interviews, Mona.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So I mentioned that you studied civil engineering. Where did the motivation to study that come from?
It actually came from my father. My father was an architect. He's a first generation born here in the U.S. Or actually not. I'm first generation born in the U.S. He emigrated from Egypt. And he was an architect who always wanted to be an engineer. And in Egypt and some other countries across the pond there, you go to college based on whatever test scores are. So he didn't have test scores that allowed him to become an engineer. So he became an architect. So he was always my inspiration as a kid. I always palled around with him with projects he was working on. And I wanted to be an architect. And I did my first 2 years. I got my associate's degree in architecture and construction. But after that, the majority of my class, I wasn't sure if I wanted to stay in architecture or go into engineering. And the majority of my class actually transferred. I live here in Rochester, so we have Rochester Institute of Technology. They transferred right from our program right into the civil engineering technology program over there. So after a year gap of working in industry, I went back and finished up in civil engineering. So that's how that came about.
Oh, okay. Your father's story is not one that I haven't, it's one that I've heard before, actually. I've had previous guests from India, and then one from Greece, where they ended up studying what they studied because of a test that they had to take, and based on your score, then you—that's what you do. It's just so interesting that this one test is like basically determines your life.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it; it's kind of like, you know, I would think about it more like the SAT score or something, but I guess depending on your grades. And he took it several times because he really wanted to be an architect or an engineer. And it's interesting because when you looked at the projects that he created, they were very, you know, proportional. Even like the house he designed for us, it was a very functional house. It wasn't an artistic home where typically you find the architectural flair. So yeah, that's he had been pushing the engineering route big time. So he was excited when I finally made that decision. So
yeah, I think the people that, like us who grew up in this part of the world, we really need to be grateful that you might have to take the ACT or the SAT, based on your score, it's not going to determine necessarily if you can study engineering or not. I mean, maybe you don't get to go to MIT, but you can go to a school, you know, local to you maybe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. For sure.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, I mentioned a bit about your corporate background, but perhaps you could mention a bit more about that. What did your work in corporate entail?
So I the firm that I worked for, when I joined it, it was a 300 person firm. I was based in Albany, New York. I was in the Rochester office, very small office. And I started working in traditional civil engineering, site design projects. And after a year, maybe 15 months, it's really when the wave hit the country with cell towers. And that was back in 94, 95. And we as a firm had been hired. We were working for 9X Mobile at the time, which now is Verizon. It was one of the first generations of Verizon. And we were also we were awarded a large project with Sprint, and that was in Erie and Niagara County, which is Buffalo, which is 45 minutes west of us. And with that project came the opportunity for me to transition and work in the wireless sector. And with that transition into wireless, that was more like a 13 or 14 year area of expertise I developed. And because the projects were small and quick, I quickly went from design to project management. And then slowly I started working with the partner who was doing business development. And unfortunately, he had passed away very quickly. And I kind of filled that role of business development for our division. Which was really neat, I have to say. And I think that being an engineer morphing into business on the business and sales side, it was really it was very interesting, and it was a little it was advantageous being an engineer selling, because you can actually you find out what the problem is. You can actually start discussing solutions at the initial when you're in the initial conversations with them. So I stayed in the business development role, bringing in new clients for us in the wireless sector. And then probably we started to morph out of the wireless sector just because it became very saturated with other engineering companies. And at that time, we had been growing in the utility space. So then I went back into the civil engineering practice, into the group where we're working for governments and institutions and hospitals. And I stayed in that business development role, since it really seemed to become my sweet spot of what I was doing. And then as the company grew, more opportunities came about, and I became the senior vice president of business development for the entire company. So all of the business development folks, at that time we had 14 offices, we had, 1400 staff, and so all of the regional folks were reporting into me, and we were serving all of the business units. And I really enjoyed it. I really did. And from there, I was a partner at the firm. And then I had an opportunity with a small woman-owned business a friend of mine had started. She was in the wireless sector, very small. She was based in Saratoga, and she was growing very quickly, but she didn't have a structure built for the company. So I went in there. And we put together a plan. At the time I came in, there was 14 employees, and I think we're about a $4 million company. We put a plan together, and after 5 years, when I left, we grew the company to 65 employees, and we were at 16 million at the time. So it was pretty much going in and everything that I had learned on the corporate side, and now implementing it into a new company. So.
Nice. That's what. Thank you for that. That summary, basically, of your life up until that point. Well, the next question I had to ask when you were talking made me think about managing people. So, is that something that you aspired to do, or is that something that kind of just fell into your lap?
It fell into my lap, and with the for anybody that worked in the wireless sector, it's a very, very fast-paced moving sector. There's time frames. They have FCC deadlines, and I had to work had an opportunity to work for pretty much every carrier up and down the East Coast, and then we had one client who was building gateway earth stations across the United States and Canada. And everything is very, very critical and very time sensitive. So it just happened. It just fell into my lap, and I happened to have some great mentors around me that I learned and I grew with. So it was very, it was very spreadsheet driven every day. You have hundreds of sites every day you're reporting on it, who's working on what. So in that marketplace, you have to work very, very fast paced. And it was a good knack. I seem to do well in that space. So
When it came to being a leader of people, what's one thing that you found surprising about it that you didn't anticipate?
I didn't anticipate some staff coming in and not, you know, they had this entitlement. They didn't want to do the work, you know, where because at the time when I came in, we were a small firm in a small office. I think there was four or five of us. We did everything. And I seem to find that as the time went on and we grew as a company, and then even college kids coming in, they just wanted the big salaries and didn't want to put in the time and effort. Where I'm a firm believer, I have been successful in every role that I've had because I've actually done that. I've done that job, so I know what's required to do the job to move it forward. Where sometimes you have folks coming in from college with a project management degree, which is very organizational. However, sometimes they don't understand how long it actually takes to do a task because they themselves have not experienced doing it. So that was a little surprising as I grew in my role, folks coming in and they don't have the willingness or the drive to do to work extra to do work, you know, to work hard. So,
Yeah, that would certainly be surprising for sure. Well,
yeah. And that was
I
more later in at later, I would say that's more later in my career, not, you know, not early on in the career, because at the place I was at, the projects we were working on, we all knew the requirements. We all knew deadlines. We knew what had to get done. So we're all in it together, you know.
got it.
So I think as the years went on, that's when I really started to feel that.
All right. Well, you certainly don't have to deal with those college kids anymore because you
I
started up
don't. No.
your own
No.
enterprise called Mona Moon Naturals. So what was the I guess the motive, well, what is Mona Moon Naturals and what was the motivation to start it?
So Mona Moon Naturals is a natural skincare company, and my sister had breast cancer in 2015, and it was through her diagnosis that we learned of the many chemicals in our skincare products, our household cleaning products, and the list goes on and on. And as I personally was transitioning myself and family to cleaner, healthier products, I really struggled with deodorant. And a mom at my son's school, she sold essential oils and had a recipe for a deodorant paste that she shared with me. And I started using that, making the deodorant and modifying it for my own needs because I have very sensitive skin. Shared it with my sister and friends and family. And for 3 years, I would just say, send a note out, hey, I'm making deodorant today. Who likes some kind of a thing? And after 3 or 4 years, I had some. I was a part of, with my role in the engineering world, I was a part of the Women's President's Organization. And we were at a retreat, and several of the women are like, you really need to start expanding your products and bringing this to market because it's very necessary and needed by many people. So that was like my little nudge, and I started to think more about it. And with my husband, I made the decision, yeah, let's explore this a little bit more. And I, you know, we put together, I hired somebody to build a website, and it was just going to be a side hustle. And after when we launched it, we added, so we had our deodorant paste, and then we added a body butter and a lip balm. And after, you know, I think it launched online in March. And then I really saw the benefits of it. I was working with some local cancer organizations and really learning more from those who were using it, the benefits of it. So by that November, I decided to step away from corporate and really start building the company. So that, in a nutshell, is it. So all of our products are made in small batches. They are made with natural and clean in ingredients that are recognizable. So whenever you pick up any one of our products and you read the back of the label, you know what it is, you can pronounce it. There isn't anything that you have to Google to see if it's safe to use. So we've grown from there.
All right. For the people who are listening or watching our conversation, Mona, and they're thinking of making that switch from a corporate job to self-employment, what advice would you have for them?
I would first say, I mean, really know what your plan is and why you want to do it. Before you, like for myself, before I stepped away, and I did, and I stepped away once I, because I had said I achieved what I wanted to achieve at the company that I was at, and another person had come in to really take the company to the next level. And I went back into the business development role, which I loved what I was doing. But I didn't step away until I knew my product was proven. It was a proven product. And I had customers, and I had retail boutiques that were purchasing the products. And I also had a couple of I had some projects on the side. I was consulting for a couple companies at the time when I stepped away. So there was at least something there to keep the money flowing. But before stepping away, really, really know your ins and outs, know what you're doing. Have a group of mentors around you in that space, because now, like for myself, I went from engineering to skincare, which is night and day. So I had to seek out and find others who can help me grow.
Yeah, that's great. That's great advice. You know, Mona, when I first started this channel, it was all about the public speaking journeys of people, and it still is to some extent. But I always enjoy hearing the career journeys of people too, like people like yourself, like you mentioned, engineering to skincare. I mean, that's not exactly a straight line, but here you are, and kudos to people like you who are willing to step away from, I guess, perhaps the more traditional path and forge a new
Yeah.
one. I think that's
Yeah,
great.
thank you.
So what?
And I say it often to high school classes when I would mentor, or even I go back to RIT, and even last week I did a presentation to the senior marketing majors, just going in and talking more about it. For me, the technical side, the engineering side, we are trained to solve challenges and problems. So I was presented with a problem and I figured it out. So I feel like we can take that and transition it to anything.
Yeah, for sure. As I mentioned, when I started, it was about public speaking, and really even more specific than that, it was about my own struggles giving presentations in front of management when I worked as a product development engineer in the medical device industry. I wasn't very good at it, but I got a lot better at it over time. But for yourself, is speaking in front of others, is that something you've always been good at? And if not, what'd you do to get better at it?
So I was fortunate that when I really started to dive into the wireless side, a part of my job was going and speaking publicly at town board meetings, in front of clients and so on and so forth. We at the time had a great program. Every year, they would select, 2 to 4 employees company-wide, and we went to Dale Carnegie. So I went to Dale Carnegie probably like within 2 years of my career, 2, 3 years of starting graduating college. And that was key for me, really, building the comfort and the confidence for that. And then, I mean, there've been times where I've gone, a year, two, three without doing any kind of presentation. So it's like getting back on the bike, just, preparing well. And I really do enjoy giving, going into colleges, going into high schools and mentoring and having those conversations and those presentations just to keep those skills going. So for me personally, Dale Carnegie was the big trainer. And then I just had opportunities from then on, before boards, presentations to customers, clients, as we were presenting RFPs and presentations to win jobs. So it just continued from there. And it was always in situations where I had an opportunity to have a team. We had the team and we did a lot of practice before we went in. There was one presentation we actually had 16 people come in for just, for various reasons, but it was, pretty dynamic.
Wow. When it comes to
And there's
the
many and there's times I've gone, you're I mean, I had a presentation a couple of years ago, and it was a TED Talk style presentation, and I got on the stage, and it was like, you're looking at a sea of people, and I hadn't had that kind of experience in a long, long time. So I was a little nerve-wracking, but once you get going, you go.
Indeed. When it comes to the presentations that you've done, do you have a process for putting them together? And if so, what is it?
Well, I usually dive into who's the audience, what are they there to learn, or what are they there to hear? And then from there, I just kind of outline what they're as if I was going to the presentation. What do I want to learn? What do I want to see? And then try it at the very beginning of that presentation, because you only have a few minutes, really a minute, if not less, to grab their attention. So at the very beginning of the presentation, speak to them about what they're going to take away. Try and find something that will resonate with them. So I outline it, and then I usually do, a PowerPoint kind of a presentation, and then I will do a couple dry runs practicing, even if it's myself on Zoom, just doing it just to get the timing and so on and so forth down.
Yeah, the timing part is so important, at least to me, because
Timing is very important, yeah.
if you go over, it's just disrespectful to the audience, in my opinion. And that's just something that I think a lot of people just don't take into account. I can recall so many conferences that I've been to where people just go over time. And not only that, but there's been instances where perhaps you were supposed to start at 10, but you end up starting at 10:05, we'll say, and you have half an hour. But if you go for the half hour, now you're finishing at 10:35 as opposed to 10:30. So do you still say I was given 30 minutes, so I'm finishing at 10:35, or do you say I'm gonna try to shorten it so we can get back on schedule so I can finish at 10:30? And I just think most people pick the former and not the latter.
Yeah, and it's so important, as you know, when you go to a conference, that in between time is very critical for the audience for checking in with their work, their emails, whatever. It's very disruptive to their day because that's their time. So if we can't start on time, we should always honor their time when we're supposed to be done. That's how I've felt, so.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Well, when it comes also to you speaking in front of others, is that, well, do you ever get nervous? And if so, how do you deal with your nerves?
I do get nervous, but and sometimes I feel like I'm babbling. However, I just kind of remember that the audience that I'm speaking with, they're regular people just like myself, and they have, they get nervous and so on and so forth. So, yeah, I think once you get go for myself, once I get going, then I'm okay. So. But getting up to that point, it can be a little nerve-wracking, but I'll just keep deep breaths and always have water and things like that.
Yeah, I think that's a great attitude to have. The fact that you, even though you're nervous, the people in the audience, if they are giving a presentation, they may very well be nervous too. So just remembering
Absolutely.
the humanity of people. I think that is really
And if
good.
the per and if the and if somebody in the audience is annoyed or whatever, well, they're not my people. They're not my people, so they
Yeah.
don't have grace, then that's fine.
Right. Hopefully that person that's annoyed isn't somebody who's a decision maker, though.
Absolutely.
So,
Absolutely. But they wouldn't be my person to get, they wouldn't be that right connection if they, even with a job interview, if our team didn't provide them with the information. You don't want to force the issue because, from that point moving forward, there's going to be a flaw in the project,
yeah.
So.
I totally understand that. So again, for the people who are watching or listening to our conversation, Mona, and they see the benefit of getting better at speaking in front of others, presentations, that type of thing, what's one piece of advice that you can give them to do to become more effective at it?
Well, I would find ways to be with people to speak, whether it is a like a Toastmasters group or Any kind of local networking organization where you have an opportunity to speak about yourself, speak about your company, or even just, making sure that you on a regular basis you are meeting with somebody, whether it's somebody new one-on-one, having coffee, having lunch, or even every opportunity to speak about yourself and your pitch, whatever you yourself want to be very good at, your elevator pitch. Take an opportunity as you meet everybody just to do that and start to get comfortable. And then just go from there. There's so many, now it's so different than, 30 years ago when I graduated college, where it was everybody went to Dale Carnegie or, it was Toastmasters. A lot of companies had Toastmaster meetings. But just, seek out other groups and find a group you are comfortable with and start chatting with them. And you can even be candid and say, hey, even with your friends, hey, I have to give a presentation coming up. Is anybody available? I'll buy pizza. You guys come over. Let me test it out. They're going to do it. Unfortunately, when I went to school, I don't know about yourself, we didn't do any pres, we didn't do any public speaking or anything, which I really wish they had in a part of our program just so we would get more comfortable.
Yeah, there wasn't anything for me as well when I was in school. And then
Yeah.
now we end up being those engineers that come into corporations and can't speak to people.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but
Yeah.
I'm trying to do my part to try to change that. This has been a great conversation, Mona. Thank you so much for being a guest. How can people get in
No,
touch
thank
with
you for
you?
the opportunity. They can reach out to me. My email is mona@monamoonnaturals.com.
Excellent. Well, everyone, that marks the end of another edition of Teach the Geek interviews. My name is Neil Thompson. I'm the founder of Teach the Geek. I work with technical professionals so they can present more effectively, especially in front of non-technical audiences. You can learn more about that at teachthegeek.com. Again, that's teachthegeek.com. Until next time, take care and stay safe. Thanks, Mona.
Thank you.
Well, everyone, that marks another episode in the can. I hope you enjoyed it. If you like these episodes and want to support Teach the Geek, please subscribe, share, and like on any of your favorite podcast platforms. Or on all of them. Also, if you prefer to watch the episodes, head on over to the YouTube channel at youtube.teachthegeek.com. Until next time.